Hello, 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 hello. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And this is Miss Sasha Sugar. And I'm so excited to be here with you all on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Today's topic of What Is Love Show is self-love. Let your light shine on the world. And I am so excited and so delighted to have my guest, Andra, today in the studio. I will introduce Andra in just a second. Please be patient. To someone, Andre J is the most stylish human in New Jersey and New York. To someone, Andre J is a role model within the LGBT community. To someone, Andre J is the first, and I believe only, African-American male appeared on the French Vogue cover. To someone, Andre has exemplary confidence, which inspires everyone around them. Yep, Andre goes by they, and I'll get into that in a second. Please be patient. But to me, since I don't easily set on reductions of the whole, Andre is a pure divine light and in this world. Yow. So I'm extremely delighted, honored, and just simply joyous to have Andre in Radio for Brooklyn Studio on What Is Love Show. Woohoo! Hello, Andre.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm super, super duper excited.
Wait, so I forgot to put the Facebook Live. Okay, I'm going to do it right now. you have to see Andre. I'll quickly share the story of how we met. We met, what, a week ago?
Literally
a week ago. And they blew my freaking mind just by their presence. So you have to see Andre. I'll try to go live on Facebook. Why don't you tell the story of how we met while I'm trying to...
It's really ironic. We were at a Touchpoint event at the Assemblage, which was absolutely phenomenal. And I just happened to be with two of my friends, and I see this beautiful spirit, and I say, would you mind taking a photo of me and my friends? That was the first exchange. The second exchange, we just looked at each other. And then the third exchange, for some reason, I just put my hand on you. Mind you, absolute strangers, but in this safe space. But there was a connection and an energy that I felt with you that was just unbeknownst to both of us for me to end up here today. And I was like, it's so ironic that out of 100 people, I actually connected with you without even knowing you or knowing the situation or outcome for me to end up being on the radio with you today. So magic is real. Magic is very real.
Magic is real. And I mean, Andre is just such a warm and kind and loving human being. And the energy is woof. So I am actually live on Facebook right
hey,
now.
Facebook.
What's up? Let me try to set it up. I have no idea if it's gonna work, but whatever. Anyways, Andre, so I introduced you in six different ways. How would you define yourself? And I know for the show's poster you asked me to use urban mystic.
Yes.
What the hell is that?
The urban mystic is an extension of who I am. And when I use the expression urban mystic, it is basically being in the community, city, state, country, with the ability of translating mysticism and the esoteric life into reality. So that's why I use the expression urban mystic, because I have the swag of a shaman that's walking down the street on a day-to-day basis, that's dropping knowledge and wisdom on people that they're actually not even aware of because it feels so good that they just think it's a general dialogue, but it's really truth bombs and real magical experiences that one can truly evolve into their higher self.
Wow, that's deep stuff right there. I like how we start the show on the high note. So are you thinking of yourself as a healer?
I'm thinking of myself as a liaison between the Most High, which is God, and humanity. That's how I'm actually seeing it, and that's what I'm actually living. And we all have that potential and ability to. I just give you the vocabulary and the vision for you to see it, to mm-hmm. experience it, and for you to interpret it in your own way, for you to live it in your own way.
And to comprehend divinity, yes. because it's so, I feel like people are turning away from divine just because they are afraid that they are not able to comprehend it and fully embrace it.
Yes.
We're going to get into that. I mean, this is like, whoa, yes. deep shit. I love it. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Let's do it.
But the name of the show is Self-Love. And to me personally, self-love has a direct correlation with, understanding that you are and everyone else is a divine being, a divine creature. And again, I'm dropping the words God and divine, higher self, because I feel comfortable about it. I know that a lot of people don't feel comfortable saying or hearing the word God or anything that is related to divine. But to me, self-love has a lot to do with that connection to the divine. What is your take on that? We can evolve our discussion towards divine throughout the show, but let's start with how you define self-love. And if you'd like to share your bathroom story, Radio Free Broken People, it's not your casual selfie bathroom story. It's a much more profound story. So, Andre, if you'd like to share that, because as I understood from the material I've looked through when was preparing to the show, is that bathroom story in your life was kind of pivotal in your understanding of who you were and your commitment to love yourself. Would you like to share that?
Yes. Self-love to me is a direct connection to your soul. It doesn't get any deeper or greater or stronger than that. Self-love is a direct connection to your soul. And for me, having the connection with my soul actually allows me to connect with others on a soul level. And that's why people are gravitated to me, because they're not gravitating to me simply because of the way that I look. That's the extension of how I feel from within. So that's, for me, the simple and quick way of
defining
self-love. Mm-hmm. The reason that I have this self-love experience, knowledge, and wisdom is because I'm an incest survivor, and at a very young age, from 6 to 10 years old, I was molested repeatedly by my older male cousin, and I didn't tell anyone. And in the process of being an incest survivor, I was also bullied tremendously because I was extremely feminine growing up. So I was always called a fag and a sissy. So in between surviving incest and not telling anyone at the age of 6 years old, to the age of 10 years old, at 10, when I saw my reflection in the bathroom mirror, these words came from my soul. And as I saw my reflection, I said, Andre, I love you. When I saw my reflection in the bathroom mirror and I expressed those words, Andre, I love you, to myself, my life changed. And my life changed simply because I had realized the importance of loving myself was my savior. It didn't come from anything exterior. It came from the true commitment of the vision that I saw from this traumatizing experience, that the only thing that could really save me was for me to save me. And self-love has been my guidance. It is what I share every day, all day, and it is truly who I am.
When you heard that, when your words, your soul spoke that, Andre, I love you, do you feel that was your frightened? It wasn't your frightened ego. It was a touch of divine. Like, how did you feel it from your gut? I feel that why I'm asking these detailed questions is just, I want to understand how this personal experiences of connecting to the divine that is through our inner self happen.
It came from my soul. It came truly from my soul. God was present. And with God being present, I didn't have an opportunity to think or to rationalize it. Mm-hmm. It was something that just moved through me. Mm-hmm. And it moved through me to the point that I felt immediately a shift occur. I immediately felt the pain and the anguish and the burden and the confusion and the violation and the trauma. I literally felt all of that begin to lift. It was mm-hmm. as if a ton of bricks had been lifted off my shoulders. And I am only 10 years old. So apparently, if I was able to feel that shift at 10 years old, it was something truly greater than me. Truly, truly, truly mm-hmm. greater than me. And because of that, I'm always present, or from moment to moment as I can be, simply because that voice is real. That magic is real. You know, we hear words and messages through experiences. I mean, the physicality of God may not come in the vision that we think it is, but we are always being delivered messages through guardian angels. And
absolutely.
I just believe that. And that's why I'm so focused in the community doing the work, for people to not miss their blessings, for them to actually tap into them.
Do you know, so many years later, do you now realize that the unfairness and the toughness of the experiences that you had to go through when you were a child, that they were actually a blessing for you?
Yes.
Do you understand?
I wouldn't change a thing if I had to live my life all over. And that's the image that I had posted on Instagram. I was in Greenpoint, Brooklyn one day. I was coming from Maha Rose Center for Healing, because I do workshops there, which I do have one coming up on March 31st, but we'll go back into that later. And I was leaving Maha Rose, and spirit moved through me. And as I took the photo, the words that there followed was, I wouldn't change a thing if I had to live my life all over. Gratitude was present. Gratitude is truly what I'm living. And I got chills when I said that. I got chills when I was actually able to recognize that. I got chills when I realized that all of what I have actually been through is the makeup of who Andre J is today. And for that, I am grateful. I'm grateful that I woke up this morning. I'm grateful that I have clarity. I'm grateful that I have strength. I'm grateful that I can have influence and impact on people to give them words of wisdom and knowledge and inspiration. I'm grateful to have this moment here with you on Brooklyn Radio. I'm just really living in a place of gratitude that I can't even really truly express 100%, but I can only live it in the moment that I'm in, to be of service, to serve humanity, to serve from a place of, like how our elders used to do, to serve from a place of love, 100% love, good, bad, or indifferent. I embrace my shadow as well as I embrace my light. And that is an entity of love as well, because I'm not just only focusing on one entity or one aspect. I'm actually appreciative of both, because both of them make me who I am.
Wow. Oh, God. I feel it. I almost feel the Holy Spirit here in the Radio for Brooklyn studio. Guys, if you want to get in touch with the Holy Spirit or Andre or myself, give us a call there. It's a live show. You can get in touch with us right now.
Call us. We happy. We jolly. We ready.
Let me just remember the phone number. It is. I always need to close my eyes to remember the number. So it is 718-928-9732. All right. This is Radio for Brooklyn, What is Love show. And we have Andre J in the studio sharing his amazing
there.
Oh, shit. Yes, we have to talk about it right now. Their beautiful, truthful experiences that brought them to this radical acceptance. And I mean, I'm Facebook Live. Hopefully I am. But you can see that love that radiates from Andre. Now, let's make this clear. Why they? Yes, I'm moving slightly just for a few minutes. Our conversation towards the gender identification of Andre will most likely gender non-identification of Andre. So Andre goes by...
identifies agender.
Let's talk about that.
And agender is... I don't consider myself a man. I don't consider myself a woman. How I actually consider myself is the balance of masculine and feminine spirit. And what society gets confused with, they get confused with gender and sexuality.
Right, right. That's one of the stereotypes about agender people.
Yeah, sex.
Let's break it.
Yeah, sexuality and sex is what you have sex with. You know, is that
simple as that.
Simple as that. Gender is how you actually identify yourself. Male, female, agender, transgender, cisgender, you know, that. So there is a difference and there is a distinction, and many can't separate it. But that's why we have these conversations, to give them that vocabulary.
Right.
And, you know, to be honest about it. And for me, I know who I am and I know how I introduce myself. So if people make a mistake and call me he, or if somebody makes a mistake and call me she, I don't take it that personally, because for me, it's bigger than that. I've introduced myself to you the way that I see myself, and not everyone can comprehend or get it. And I'm not trying to arm wrestle you to make you see my light. Mm-hmm. My light is my light, and I respect you still.
So when was the time, the first time that you realized that you were agender? How did that happen?
The first time I actually identified with being the balance of masculine and feminine spirit is... I was on a plane. I lived in LA and I was moving back to New Jersey, and I saw a documentary on two spirits, which are Native American. And the Native Americans believed that there are people that are born with male and female spirit. And to be born with male and female spirit, you were actually considered gifted. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, and when I say this, I don't want to be rude, but I must be honest. With all of the colonialism that's going on in the world, many cultures are actually being stripped of their truths and of what actually makes their tribe what it is. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the world is being truly whitewashed. So when I was actually able to see that, it touched my soul. Tears started rolling down my eyes. I was like, oh, so this is not about being male or female. This is not about being gay or straight. This is about actually tapping into your spirit. Right. This is about the way that you feel about yourself. And in Native tribes, they actually have rituals that actually allow this to truly manifest. And it just blew me away. And I connected with that. I don't identify as two spirit, but I do identify with the ideology of it. And when I came back to New York City, I started working for Patricia Field, costume mm-hmm, designer for mm-hmm. Sex and the City and the Devil Wears Prada, and I started working at her boutique. And at her, when I say freedom, you have no idea what freedom is. Patricia Field is one of the most free-spirited people in the world. I mean, when I say she has no hang-ups, judgments, I mean, she's just free. She's just free. And she's just free. So I started working at this boutique. And it really allowed me to tap into my higher self, because there was nothing that I could not do. There was nothing that I could not wear. There was nothing that I actually could not express. Everything that I needed to do to adorn myself with, regalia, it was all accessible for me. Again, as if the universe had put me here for me to adorn myself, to become the embodiment of the balance of the masculine and feminine spirit. And the first time that I actually identified as agender, genderless, was for a New York Times article that they were writing up on me because of my cover for French Vogue. And they said, well, Andre, how do you identify yourself? And then I used the expression genderless. But you know, that was in like 2007. And with modern times, mm-hmm. you know, things shift. So it went from being genderless, and which is basically agender. Agender is basically gender. Same thing, just modernization.
Guys, to clarify, it is not the same as gender fluid.
No.
Because that's a new term.
Yes.
Could you demystify that for us as well?
Well, gender, I mean, I'm going to say it this way. Everyone expresses themselves differently. Queer, gender fluidity. Mm-hmm. I identify as agender. And someone who is gender fluid is expressing their fluidity. That's the best way that
I can. One day I wake up, I feel more like a male. Another day I wake up, I feel more like a woman. Whereas Adrian does not even think in those terms about their identity.
No.
Okay, yeah.
No. You know, and I try to be extremely sensitive and respectful to other expressions because they do mean very much to the person that is expressing themselves mm-hmm. as that. And it's all really a personal interpretation with characteristics that because it's all about a box, unfortunately.
It is.
It's really all about fitting into a box because society needs a way to comprehend your existence. That's what it boils down to.
Can we just ponder for 1 second? So you are born and based on what physical organ you have down there.
Yeah.
You already, well, not you, but society already immediately puts a set of limitations on your ability to self-express yourself.
Yes.
Right there in that second.
Yes.
When you show up in the world. How fucking crazy it is.
Well, it's also because some people are also born intersex. And so then you have some that are hermaphrodites. And so it's like you don't really know who you are because your parents actually have made a decision for you. And if they are uncomfortable with whatever it is that they see, they can make you what they want you to be, which does not necessarily mean that that is the way that you were actually born, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. That's the story of so many people. And actually, could you, because I wanted to touch base on that as well. How was your situation at home? I know, unfortunately, or fortunately, now we don't know, but you had the pretty cruel interaction with your cousin.
Yes. But I also
what about your mother? How did she see you as a human being?
My mother loved me. I'm an only child. So although I had my situation with my cousin, I come from a family of love. Mm-hmm. Like my family, they don't judge me now. They didn't judge me then. In fact, they really, 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 really love me. Aww. And they actually really, 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 really love me. And let me just say this again. They like really, really, really love me. It's just that, you know, I believe in every family there's a molester, a rapist, a drug addict, a drug dealer, you know, a murderer. I think in every family at some point, there is some sort of dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So my family is no different than it just so happens it was me. And it doesn't change the dynamics of my family. It's just, he just happened to be one. I happen to be one. But overall, the essence is love. Love. And I have cousins that aren't even my cousins, like that I'm calling cousins because that's just the type of family that I have. You know, they may not have a whole lot or we may not have a lot, but we have enough to share. We have enough to give someone who has less than. So that's what I come from. So I'm naturally a giver.
How crucial that family situation is for a development of a child. Last year, I tried to attend the ACA meetings, which is Adult Children of Alcoholics. It's a program, but it's a 12-step program that is originating from the original 12 AA meeting program. And I was shocked to see all these people, just so grown-ups, beautiful-looking people who still cannot recover from the wounds they had from their families. And it's not about just your father or mother being an alcoholic. It's really about any sort of dysfunction that people have in their families. So it's almost like I want to just spread this message out there to the new parents. Please, please just show love. Just nurture, just love, love. It's not about things. It's not about buying things. It's not about spoiling kids. Love, just be present and love your children.
And having an open mind and realizing that the world has changed. You know, we are not in those prehistoric times. We are like, this is 2018. This is the future. So we can't hold the same barbaric ideology. Mm-hmm. Put the Bible down and come into the present and just be open and aware and listen to what your kids have to say or just... not even
be open.
Just be open. And you know, and again, and I say this, not just be open, just so you can go through those phases, those notches in your belt, not then realize just, and then open. Those three phases. If you, once you hit those three notches, it just gets easier because you need to be able to have room for your kids to talk to you, to ask you questions. You know, if I had a different relationship with my family, a different element of openness, then I would have been able to say to them, look, I'm being molested. But I didn't say it because I knew that it would destroy the dynamics of my family. So I kept that and I held that burden. And luckily, I am one that didn't experience trauma from it because I come from love. So it didn't traumatize me or it didn't devastate me.
Have you forgiven your...
Oh, my goodness, yes. Okay. Oh, my goodness, yes. Not only have I forgiven my cousin, I have forgiven myself. I was young. I was innocent. I had no control over what happened to me then. But I am aware and I have control of what happens to me now.
Can we just pause for a second? Because I think something very important is being translated here. You've said, I have also forgiven myself.
Yes.
And to me, that's what we usually often forget to do. Mm-hmm. We always think when we happen to be victims in the situations, and then when we're doing all this self-work on ourselves to heal the wounds, we come to the point when we are ready to forgive the person who has done something wrong to us, but we never really think of the fact that we need to also forgive ourselves, and it is maybe even more important in the healing process.
Well, what happened to him? For my cousin to do that to me, what happened to him? Maybe something happened to him as well, that he's passed that process on. I just know for me, I don't want to experience that shit at all. I had it, it was in my life. I don't want to do that to anyone. I don't want anyone to feel that. And that's why I live this journey. And that's why I'm here at this radio station. And that's why I live my life to its fullest capacity to actually show people that you have to free yourself from any limitation or service that does not allow you to reach your higher self. It's a choice. Every day I wake up and make a choice to be happy. We have to make conscious choices on our lives for the betterment of ourselves and humanity.
So, Andrea, in your self-work and your healing processes, what was the division between the conscious work versus emotional work? I feel that the people that I'm talked to when they have to heal the trauma, they often either just use only emotional work. They do all this. I'm talking about myself right now. They do all different meditations, Reiki, Tantra work, something that is related to your body and emotions. Let the emotions go. Whereas other people do a lot of the mental work. They realize the trauma. They accept the trauma. They try to let it go, but it's always happening in their mind, right? So do you have a preference for any set of techniques or approaches?
I journal. I like to write. I like to get it out of my head. I like to put it into the universe. I like to get it out of my heart. I like to write it down. I like for it to just be relinquished into the universe. And I also do meditation and yoga. I also love great Epsom salt baths. I'm really a self-care person.
Wait, like, what is that? What was that?
I love Epsom salt baths, like salt baths. Yes. I'm all into self-care. I'm really about, again, I'm an only child. And my friends say, Andre, you have only child syndrome, which basically means I play well with myself, literally, in all aspects, in all entities, Andre, darling.
You know that my biggest realization happened in the bathtub as well.
Yeah.
That was my safe space when I felt depression.
Yes.
I needed to be in that warm bathtub, but then also that's the place where I felt the God the most.
Yes.
That's okay, guys, if you're feeling really down, depressed, or working through a trauma, go fill up the bathtub right now. Put some salt in it, some
candles.
Candles, and just let yourself
crystals.
Soak.
Your crystals, pull your hair up, put on some great soft music if necessary, burn some sage, cleanse that atmosphere, and just really allow yourself to soak so you can hear yourself, so you can connect with yourself, so you can release And it really, truly does make a difference. Quiet the noise.
Quiet the noise and be the light. Be the light for yourself. Yeah. This is the name of the song that I'd like to play for just a few minutes for us, for me and Andre to take some breaths in and breaths out. We'll be back on Radio Free Brooklyn in just 2 minutes.
Where Brooklyn at?
Yeah, Brooklyn at. And if you have a question to Andre, if you'd like to share your own experience of getting in touch with yourself, give us a call at 718-928-9732.
Call us.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
What's up, Brooklyn?
What's up, Brooklyn? And you have Sasha Sugar in the studio with Andre J.
Sasha Sugar. Sasha Sugar.
Beautiful spirit, Andre. Actually, guys, so before we started the show, Andre and I, we met at Roberta's Pizza. Not for pizza, because honestly, pizza there is, it's okay. It's not the greatest one. It's okay. But I don't know what all the hype is about. But they have a beautiful yard at the background, and we just kind of chilled there drinking our tea, and Andre, tell us what happened.
There were these two beautiful kids, the spirits, and I would see them just wandering around, peeking at me, and I would just look back at them and give them a smile, And then they would get closer and closer. And then I would smile with them. And then they would turn around and run away. Absolute strangers. Absolute strangers, of course. And it's just so interesting to see how fascinated the children were with me. They were able to see that play in me that they had within themselves. And that's why I do these workshops called Embrace Your Beauty, which is the importance of loving yourself and living fearlessly for the purpose of personal growth. And I do these workshops solely because they are the conduit to allowing you to understand the importance of self-love. I find that people seek love outside of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They seek it from their parents. They seek it from Instagram. They seek it from their companion. They seek it from everywhere outside of themselves. And no one really actually gives it to themselves. So Embrace Your Beauty is really the push, the initiative, the conversation, the experience to encourage you, to inspire you, to motivate you to actually love yourself. Because the love that you actually feel for yourself, you actually give that to others effortlessly, i.e. the way the little kids were drawn to me today. It was kind of really magical.
It was
magical. And, you know, it's a bright, sunny day and it's, you know, spring is coming in. And to see how the children were just, mind you, this were two different sets of children.
Right, when we were because the ones were
in the tea shop. Yeah, in the tea shop, we were getting tea. These the other little kids, they were just drawn to me as well.
And they were from Netherlands.
Yes. Yes, so they were from the Netherlands. So it was just really good. But I also did my Embrace Your Beauty workshop in Brazil, which is a huge language barrier. And to see how when you actually connect with people, it's not even necessarily the words that actually get them. It's the vibe.
The energy.
It's the energy. When you all tap into that same frequency, it's motherfucking powerful.
There's nothing else to say.
That's it.
You have to experience
it. You have to open yourselves up to be able to drop that magic that you possess and be open to receive that magic as well. So in my Embrace Your Beauty workshop, which is March 31st at Maha Rose, 6 to 8 p.m. You can go to Maha Rose website and get the information.
You know, it's amazing that my next guest in 2 weeks will be the founder, Lisa, from Maha Rose.
That's the magic. And in this workshop, it's broken down into three parts. One is yelling with spirit, that you actually have an opportunity, because we are in the concrete jungle, you know, that you can actually have a safe space, that you can scream to the fucking top of your lungs to release, that you can actually tap into that inner child. You can fall on the floor. You can scream. You can get into a fetal position.
Release that baby.
You can release that baby. And because of my experience with actually discovering me loving myself through my reflection in the bathroom mirror, I also do a mirror meditation as well. And because nonverbal communication is so important, which is again why the children were so drawn to me, I also do a segment called From Catwalk to Sidewalk, which is the confidence that you see in the models on the runway is the interpretation that you will have, learn, experience to exude as you walk down the street on a day-to-day basis. So through your great body language, it actually makes a difference because you're introducing yourself before you can actually verbally introduce yourself just through your body language.
So this workshop is not for female only.
No, this workshop is for everyone. Mm-hmm. This workshop is for everyone.
It's March 31st.
March 31st.
What time is it?
6 to 8 p.m. at Maha Rose Center for Healing. And you can go to maharose.com and you can actually do what you need to do to get your ass up in there so we can have a good old time. Because again, I find that people want to be seen, but they are afraid to be seen.
Or they're trying to be seen in the wrong way.
Right.
And can we talk about it right now? Because I feel, at least in my universe, there is a huge trend of self-love healers. And there are so many books about self-love and so many posts on Instagram with hashtag self-love. But I don't think that a lot of people understand what true self-love is. It's not about, you know,
selfies
posing,
or
exactly, It's not about being a, you know, narcissistic dickass. It's not about putting your interests all the time above others on purpose. That's not what self-love is. Self-love.
Let me express it another way. My first expression of what self-love was is about connecting with your soul. The second aspect of self-love to me, if I can describe it in a characteristic, is the ability to be seen. I see you, and I am here to be seen. I believe that that is extremely important, showing up. To be open and to shine your light on the world is a true characteristic of self-love. Not dimming your light to make others feel comfortable is a true characteristic of self-love. I believe that there's a difference with narcissism, taking pictures of myself all day, look at me. I don't think that that is an element of self-love. I truly believe that that is narcissistic, mm-hmm. and you will eventually drive yourself crazy because that is still not fulfilling your soul. But when you can stand up and you can be present and you can own who you are, your existence, your being, those things are characteristics of self-love. You know, these are the things that, because I find this also with meditation teachers and mm-hmm. yoga. They don't see you, but they expect you to see them, which I find to be
very interesting.
Very.
Not in Kundalini yoga, though.
Including. What I have. And I'm in the spiritual community. But what I find is some of the teachers, they don't see others' light, but they expect you to see their light. Mm-hmm. So again, if you don't, when you're on this spiritual journey as mm-hmm. well, self-love, even when you are going to these meditation and these teachers, stop seeking a guru outside of yourself.
Bravo.
Stop seeking a guru outside of yourself.
And Andra, not to interrupt you, but Mia Haber, who Andra also knows, was a guest on my previous show. That's exactly what she said.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the true Kundalini yes. practice is everyone is their own guru.
Yes.
Like there are no authoritative figures who yes. are your gurus.
Yes. So
please reiterate this message.
You know, so again, for me, it's about when you're going on this spiritual journey, you still have to trust yourself, even in your most confusion and even in the most doubtful time. And that's why you have these meditations and these yoga and you have yoga. It is for you to go within, for you to tap into your higher self, for you to listen to your voice, for you to understand what you need to release, for you to understand what it is that you need to forgive. But in order to do that, it is not an extension of the exterior of someone else telling you what to do. I mean, they're showing you or giving you tools to actually do it, but the tools that they give you, you should be appreciative for, but you don't need to look at them as more than you.
And just to add to that, we don't need the copies. We need the originals.
Right. And you are the original.
Right.
So you are the original.
Don't compare yourself to your friends, to the celebrities, to whoever. We need you. You. Yes, I'm talking to you.
Yes, you.
You
are a winner. Yes, you. You are a winner. But what I love about this show is we're also giving them vocabulary. We're also giving them different scenarios for them to see what's going on in the world. You know, if there's no conversation about it, then you don't know what to look for. You know, with this conversation, it gives you a different way of navigating.
Very true. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy I'm doing this show now. I feel like I'm on the mission, but also just you being you, Andre.
Yes.
And me being myself and other people being themselves. How inspiring is that? If you need a boost of proof that by tapping into your true self, your life just becomes 10 times, million times better,
yes.
get in touch with Andre. Honestly, just
holla
buy him a coffee or whatever. them. You don't drink coffee.
Yes.
Fuck, sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. And I'm only correcting you only for the purpose because we're on the radio. But if you and I were just with ourselves, I would not correct you at all. But just for formality sakes, you know, just for the consistency. Because again, some people may be offended if you go in and out of character in how you
the conversation.
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, get in touch with Andre.
Hola.
Yes. this beautiful person, this amazing child of God, Jesus fucking Christ, is so amazing and just the living proof, living, walking, happy proof that once you tap into who you truly are with all your shit, honestly, we're not talking about just being the best version of yourself by ignoring the dark side of yourself.
Yes.
That's what we are talking about by tapping into your true self, that's what you become.
That's this when you become whole.
Beautiful, light, whole, amazing creature. Oh, God, yes. So good.
You have the sun and the moon, honey. You know, you can't have one without the other. And I believe that everyone's trying to run from one and feel safer in the other. My whole thing is life is about balance. And in order to balance a really sustainable life, then you need darkness. And in order for you to balance and sustain a really beautiful life, you need light as well. You need them both. And you can't run from one or the other or only find comfort and safety in just one, because then that's bullshit also. Because again, even amongst the spiritual community, everything is love and light. I'm like, God damn it. You know, I get where you're going. You are of the world, but you're not in it. I get it. But not every goddamn thing is love and light. Not when I see all these homeless people on the street. That ain't there's nothing love and light about it. Now, are you holding as much love and light in your life because this has no direct effect to you? Is that why you can hold all of this love and all of this light and not be able to have an awareness to what is going on?
Right.
This is what I mean about seeing the light and seeing other people.
It's easy to be spiritual sitting in your room and reading smart books.
And your luxury.
Oh my gosh, I'm so enlightened. Yes. I'm Buddha. Well, get out of on the street and go to the Penn Station.
And see what's really going on. So when you have people that are coming to your workshops with real issues and traumas, you're really coming to them from a very soulful place that you're actually really, you're not hypnotized and then hypnotizing them because you have no real touch with what's going on in the world. So basically is you're out of touch leading people on this journey from your hypnotized world when really you're not saving them, and they just gave you their last motherfucking $50 because they want to be healed, and yet they're coming in with the same trauma that they actually left with a piece of paper that says tools but no real vocabulary, substance and soul or something that they can feel. Because it's actually coming from a being that actually really cares.
Andre, thank you so much for bringing this up. And I feel that you've just inspired my next topic. No, I'm serious though. I want to do a show about what really happens in the spiritual community. Because it's, oh my God, you should see Andre's face. Yeah,
I mean, there's just as much racism. There's just as much sexism. There is just as much transphobia. There, all of the things that are going on in the real world is actually going on in the spiritual community as well. It is not exempt. And this is why I also say to people, don't get lost in this so-called spiritual title. You still need to be able to have your vision to see what is actually going on, because everything is not peaches and cream. And you owe it to yourself
to
be aware of what is going on, because passive aggressiveness is real. And you need to be aware of, this does not feel right to my soul. And because this does not feel right to my soul, I ain't fucking with you.
And this is your primary guidance.
And that's your truth. And in order to shine, that is a part of shining. Living your truth, your authenticity is what truly allows you to shine. and creating healthy boundaries as well. You know, so it's these things when we talk about self-love. Self-love is not just this smile on someone's face. It's truly about healthy boundaries. It's truly about being authentic. It's truly about standing in your truth.
Let's talk a bit about the healthy boundaries. I feel that it's not a clear concept in the spiritual world and also in just...
In reality, in life.
Yeah.
Healthy boundaries for me is this is unacceptable. This is what I will not accept. And this is the healthy boundary that I am not going to allow you to cross. Friend, foe, spiritual teacher, whoever the fuck you are.
Could you give us an example from your adult life?
My adult life, a healthy boundary. A healthy boundary is do not walk up to me no matter how nice you think I am and touch my hair.
Something, I did not touch your hair.
No, you didn't. Okay. I would have stopped you. So you would have then you would have known what a healthy boundary is. That is what, to me, and in its most generic term, how you create healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries is it's me saying to you, hi, sweetie, you know, I don't even really know you, and please don't touch my hair, because that's my truth. And I owe it to myself to live my truth, that I don't have to have you walk over to me who's an absolute stranger and touch my hair just because you think that I'm nice. I'm not trying to not be your vision of what nice is when you have just somewhat violated me. Do you get what I'm saying? That is what healthy boundaries is. Healthy boundaries is having the ability to say no with the same inner peace as you say yes.
So then my question is, how does the concept of healthy boundaries relate to the ego? And I'm asking this because sometimes I feel that I need to work on myself not to have a boundary. Let's say if I'm disgusted or I don't feel comfortable about a certain situation. Now I feel that, no, I need to work on myself to accept that situation and to be more loving to that situation. Am I stretching it too far? Or do I just need to, if I don't feel...
Comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable, then that's the question.
Where is the fine line, basically?
The fine line of is about your comfortability. This makes me feel uncomfortable. So if
it makes my ego feel uncomfortable.
Well, I can't differentiate your ego from, because it's yours. You know, so I can't really, and I don't know you because we just really, really met. But what I will say this for someone who is actually listening, who wants to comprehend to what healthy boundaries are. If it feels uncomfortable to you,
explore. Look into that.
Look into it. If it feels uncomfortable, because everything that you are seeking, your intuition is there for you.
Right.
Your intuition is there for you. So if your intuition has prompted an alert for you, you need to check that. What does that mean?
So I think, and correct me if you have a different opinion, but to say that if you feel it is wrong, that's a great indicator to look into that. Not if you think it is wrong. If you think it is wrong, yes, it's worth exploring. But the true exploration needs to happen when you feel it is wrong.
The true exploration is once you feel a shift is when you need to check it. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling really happy and then you have this moment of uncomfortability, you need to be aware of what that means. Am I not in a safe space? Or are the people around me unhealthy? Or do, you know, that is when you need to check it. When you feel that shift happening, that shift means something. And most people disregard it. They want to call it something else. You can call it whatever it is you choose to call it. But the first thing is to identify and acknowledge the feeling, the alert, because that is the universe actually
talking to you. Yeah. Yes.
And if it's talking to you, then you need to hear what is being said for you to know how to navigate.
This is so beautiful. And also how amazing it is that through learning, fully learning and understanding yourself and tapping into yourself, you also connect to the higher.
Yes.
Whatever you call it, higher power, God, divine. Again, these terms are... We're just giving you the vocabulary, right? Grab what makes you feel more comfortable. But only through learning yourself, you also know and connect to the universe.
Yes, you also
and
connect
everybody
with
else.
Others. You, yes.
And everybody
Loving
else.
Yourself allows you to truly connect with others. And that's what that was the reference that I used with the little kids. The little kids, they saw my joy, and that's why they were drawn to me. They didn't know me. They were with their parents. They were running around and playing. I wasn't really what they were thinking about until they actually saw the lights, and then they were gravitated to it. Those things really, they mean something.
Okay, we have 30 seconds left.
Okay.
And thank you so very much for coming thank to Radio you. For Brooklyn thank to What you. Is Love.
We're Brooklyn at. We're Brooklyn at. We're Brooklyn.
Guys, please check out Andre's workshop at Maha Rose on March 31st. I will make sure to mention it next time on
thank
my
you.
Show. And you all have a blessed Sunday afternoon. And seriously, Andre, you have 15 seconds. What's your, last message? You are the self-love evangelist.
The only thing that I have to say is to thyself be true. Though that's the key. That's the essence. That's the soul of it all. To thyself be true. And what you know, share. Because we all need each other. Each one teach one. Love to the world. Love to the world. Love to the world.
Too late, love.